The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
Mike Gambardella here for Pro Football Network with an exclusive interview and a big thank you to Matt Hamacek, the director of the newest Apple Plus documentary, The Dynasty, New England Patriots. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time here for us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Now, here at Pro Football Network, we were actually founded by Dolphins fans. Wow. I'm a diehard Patriots fan, so I'm actually excited to be the one that gets to do this and actually hopefully start to prove some people wrong here at PFN. I know that you're not a Patriots fan kind of growing up, but for kind of maybe a Dolphins audience, what can you say about going behind the scenes of maybe the quote unquote evil empire and getting into a 20-year story of seeing, you know, a team have success?
Well, yes, like you said, I grew up a Packer fan. I had some family members who grew up right outside of Green Bay. So as any sort of fan base in the NFL knows, when you're growing up, you're sort of indoctrinated into whatever fan base a lot of times by the people that raise you. And so I didn't have much of a choice, but I think that not knowing much about this story, but also realizing that, you know, the Patriots were a team that really kept everybody at arm's length for a very long time, right? They were sort of known as the secretive thing and, you know, nobody really knew what was going on. It gave me the ability to talk to the 70 different, you know, players and coaches and front office execs, league officials, the rivals, and really just ask questions to them and be interested in the stories that they had to tell. And I think I also knew that as a non-Patriot fan, that the only way that I would ever be interested in watching this show is if it was the unvarnished telling of the New England Patriots story. Like, you know, there's been Three Games to Glory and all the NFL film stuff that's come out before. And, you know, that is a lot more about the glory of the game. And I think, you know, the last thing that probably Dolphins fans want to see is to be reminded of how much they've, not had the best of times with the New England Patriots over the years. And so I think just getting into more than just the X's and O's and a story that is sort of deeply human, right? Because that's, I think, the thing that always makes, whether it's a documentary or whether it's a fiction film, it's always the characters that make something interesting or not. And so here we have these incredible characters in, you know, the three main ones of Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. They start out as these outsiders in the NFL. Robert, you know, he's not this like billionaire like we see today who can just cut a check when he starts out. He has to leverage everything he has. Bill Belichick, Jackie Mack, the great journalist from the sort of Boston, New England region, says that, you know, describes him as not having having a very underwhelming stint when he was the head coach of Cleveland. And then Tom, as we all know, is sort of the 199th pick in the draft. So it's these guys that really weren't supposed to be there, kind of, in a way. And they start off that way. And it's about the creation of something. How do you try to sustain something and keep, you know, all the normal sort of trappings and of success at bay, like ego and who gets credit and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they do that for a really long time. But then it's also really important to obviously detail along the way things like Spygate, Deflategate, Aaron Hernandez, and then sort of the messy part of the story, which is sort of how the thing unravels.
Mm-hmm. And in your estimation, as you're, like you said, a 20-year story, right? How does something go from an underdog to perhaps the greatest dynasty that the NFL has ever seen?
I think they did the rare thing that it's really hard for people to do, especially when there's a lot of people and you're on an enormous stage like the NFL. But again, it's this human story about these people who did this thing together and they created an atmosphere of selflessness and team first. And there's a lot of, as you know, and everybody who watches the NFL knows, a lot of people say they're going to go do that, but it's really, really, really difficult to do it. And what it requires is a lot of subjugation of ego, right? Especially as success starts to come into the picture. And, you know, you have the quarterback, which is ultimately like the most sort of celebrated and, I don't know what other word, but, you know, position and maybe all sports, right? They get all the credit and they get all the blame, but there was a lot of credit to be given. And still, Tom never really let that influence who he was and how he treated the people around him. And Bill created this incredible system of, you know, he's at the top and everybody is underneath him and equal. And that, and sort of Tom buying into that system at the same time and never wanting to be like the superstar quarterback that was flashy and getting all the attention and all that kind of stuff. I think that atmosphere and that culture really helped it. And then, of course, with Robert as the owner, I think, you know, he talks about the realization of, I've got the two greatest people in the history of the sport doing what they do. And why would I ever think of sort of getting in the middle and meddling or doing any of the things that other owners have done over the years that sort of undo some of these successes that were happening? And so it worked for a very, very long time until it didn't. And that's sort of what the last three episodes are really about.
And you perfectly set me up there, as I was going to say. You know, I know we're not at the last three episodes and they're going to continue to roll out. And I know a lot of people are eagerly awaiting, but for something to be so great, how do you get to that end point when where we currently are, where now neither are with the team? And obviously one is retired, but went on to win a Super Bowl with another team. And now the Patriots themselves for the first time in 24 years with a new head coach.
Well, I think, you know, when people watch, it's not that we spend the time saying, you know, this is why we don't really cover this past season, right? But what we do is we sort of maybe give the audience breadcrumbs by listening to the people who were in the rooms and them describing what it was like at different periods as to why Tom left and maybe why Bill ended up leaving. And I think that the beginning of the end in an interesting way really started in episode 5 for us, which is the episode where they had just lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl the year before. Tom comes out. It's the first game of the season, but they really have the same nucleus that almost went undefeated. And it looks as if they're going to do it all over again. And then Tom goes down and sort of goes out for the year with a horrific knee injury and faces his football mortality for the first time in his life. And while he's out, he realizes that the show goes on without him. And he talks about how it was in that moment when he said, how do I never get back onto the operating room table before? How do I not break? And in his mind, how do you play until you're 45 years old? Right. And at the same time, you have Bill Belichick, who's, you know, superpower is taking whatever he's presented with and making the absolute most of it. And when arguably the greatest quarterback of all time that season goes away, they still go, I think 11-5 or something like that. Yeah. And so, you know, and Bill obviously is a numbers guy. He's an analyst in a lot of ways, right? Obviously an incredible football mind, a great coach on the field and all that kind of stuff. But I think he really trusts what he sees, and what he saw was that at a certain age, every quarterback falls off of a cliff. So that's the beginning of this tension, right? You've got a quarterback who's saying, I'm going to play at a high level and win Super Bowls longer than anybody has ever even basically played the game as a quarterback, and a coach who says, I have irrefutable proof that at some point in time, every quarterback falls off of a cliff and can't play anymore. And those two things create tension to begin with. And then, you know, in addition to that, some of those core principles that were the foundation of this incredible machine start to, you know, be challenged in various ways. And that's one of the things that we start to watch as episodes 8, 9, and 10 start to come into play.
Was it interesting to kind of delve into the dynamic of, you know, the greatest player, the GOAT, the quarterback of all time, and someone who has more wins, you know, almost than anybody else, more championships than anyone else? How did they kind of talk differently about the beginning, middle, and end? Did you notice those things?
Well, I mean, that's the great thing about being able to interview people for a documentary, is that you get to talk to people and say, what was it like from your perspective, right? Because that's what this is. And I think, you know, the interesting thing about this story in particular is that the Patriots, even though they were the at arm's length, you know, team, people have covered them. You know, there was a book written in 04, 05 called Education of a Coach, which was largely about Bill Belichick. There was the Tom Brady had his own sort of Tom's version of the Patriot Dynasty series. But those were always very specific lenses. So And then the other part of it is that you have these other sources, like articles and things that had been written, and it would be these anonymous sources, and you would never be able to tell who is the person who's actually saying these things, and what, you know, do they have an axe to grind? What's their motivation for saying these? And so what was so great about this one was, all right, look, we're going to get all these people together, and we're going to let them say what it was like to be in the room in those moments when these things were happening, and just listen to their sides of the story and all talk. Like I said earlier, as a non-fan, it was just like, well, I'm curious, like, what was it like here? And everybody sort of, you know, told their side of the story. And in a lot of ways, my job was to get out of the way and let them do that.
As media members and people who have covered, you know, the Patriots for decades at this point, when we saw that first episode, a lot of us kind of said, as soon as Bill sat down, he gave that tell that we've noticed, right? That moving of the jaw, this stiff the head back, and you knew that you were probably going to get bad Bill in a sense, right? That coach, that aura that kind of comes on, that guarded nature that we were so used to asking him questions and knowing what we were getting and have to read between the tea leaves. Did you notice that to start, or was that kind of something that you had done your homework, you knew you were going to have to face and kind of crack through that a little bit?
You know, it's interesting. So one thing is that everybody has seen Bill do the "we're on to Cincinnati" shtick on the podium when he's doing press conferences. I think what's unique about this is the way he was when he sat in our chair is one is that he wasn't always like that. So in episodes 3 and 4, which are about to come out on Friday, we have two great stories. The first one is about Lawyer Malloy going to New Orleans for the Super Bowl 36 and explaining that the tiny room that he's in is not big enough, and Bill and him having a back and forth about like Lawyer basically getting Bill's room. And the point of that story, it's a great story, and they're both like really charismatic, and they're great storytellers in that moment. But the point of that story is the foundation of the team first thing. I mean, really, episode 3 should be more or less be the team first episode, right? Because it's all these people doing what's right for the team as they get to the biggest stage imaginable. The other story is with Randy Moss, when Bill calls Randy and tries to get him to come to the team, and Randy's convinced that there's a person who's pretending to be Bill Belichick on the phone, and you really get to see Bill open up in both of those stories. But the other thing is that when Bill sort of falls back into the "we're on to Cincinnati" version of Bill, albeit at much more lengthy and much more talkative in this, is that when he's on the podium, he's kind of up there on an island by himself, whereas some of those answers in the context of what everybody else is saying, it elucidates a lot more and really informs you into Bill's thinking about things and how people feel about him. So it's the context around him that I think makes his interview so interesting.
And unfortunately, he's had to stand up there and do a lot of tough interviews and have to answer a lot of tough questions. And we touched on it a little bit, whether that be Aaron Hernandez, Spygate, Deflategate. There have been the issues that have surrounded the team as well. As you got into those issues, were there things that surprised you? And obviously, you know, you said you're a Packers fan, so maybe not as keyed in on all the details, but either a detail that may have surprised you or something that was revealed to you that you didn't think was going to be kind of brought up.
Absolutely. I think one of them is in episode 4, which is about to come out, the Spygate episode. And one of the lines is about, basically a major theme of that episode is about betrayal. And one of the lines that really surprised me, I actually think it's probably in an interesting way, I'm sure Spygate as a topic isn't necessarily Bill Belichick's favorite topic, but I think that this episode 4 is one of the most sort of sympathetic to Bill episodes out there, because one of the things that we detail, and this comes from a line from Scott Pioli, he talks about that feeling of betrayal that Bill felt when essentially Eric Mangini and the Jets, Eric used to work with Bill and Eric was a mentee of Bill's, and when he talks about that feeling of betrayal and this idea of Bill retreating into himself and distancing himself from those that were closest to him, I think when he said that, when Scott said that to me, again, it gets back to this great human story, right? It's not about the X's and O's. It's not really even about Spygate per se, right? It's not an episode where we spend a ton of time being like, was it right? Was it wrong? Is everybody else doing it or is it not? It's more about the people and how they're bouncing off of each other and then the reaction to those things. And what you see in this episode is not only Bill distancing himself from what Scott said, but then at the same time, Tom and the rest of the team literally and figuratively putting their arms around Bill and saying, you know, Teddy Bruschi has this great moment where you see him in the locker room saying, how do we feel about being coached by Bill Belichick? And they all go, oh yeah. And here's this guy that has the weight of the world on his shoulders. And at a moment when he's vulnerable, all those people around him, from Robert to the teammates to Tom and everybody, put their arm around him and say, we've got you, coach. And then that team just goes on the tear of a lifetime and, you know, sort of almost accomplishes the unaccomplishable until they get to the buzzsaw and that is the New York Giants and the 2007 Super Bowl. And I will say that I think Patriot fans will probably love a lot of this episode, but I know that for those players, you can see on their faces when they're talking about what it was like for that to lose that game, that it to this day haunts them. And that was another moment where I was just like, oh my gosh, like you can feel the fact that like, this is almost like I'm asking them to relive a nightmare, you know? And there were guys I feel like who hadn't really, they had like compartmentalized it for a very long time. Dante Stallworth is a great example of that, where you can see him processing it and then he just pauses and just, and is thinking about it. And he's just, it's painful still to think about it to this day. So, this is the stuff that I love about making documentary films, is you get to just talk to people and let them tell their stories. So it was a huge honor to talk to all these guys.
And I'm sure made even worse when you end up losing to the same team again a short while later in the biggest game there is. But eventually the Patriots do go on to essentially create a second dynasty, right? Yeah. You get your redemption, you know, against the Falcons. You get Malcolm Butler becoming one of the biggest Super Bowl heroes that is ever regarded. And so for my last question, while we have our time here, is the question that I think a lot of people have is, Malcolm Butler is a Super Bowl hero and then mm-hmm. gets benched in a yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What was told to you about that decision?
Well, I'll never forget when we were interviewing Devin McCourty, he described it as the great New England mystery, right? As what happened to Malcolm Butler. And without giving too many spoilers away, I think that somebody says something in that episode that gives a major hint as to what was going on. And I think that people will come away with a much better understanding of what happened.
Matt Hamacek, the master of always leaving and wanting more. We've seen episodes. We already want more of these and excited to see them come out on Apple Plus every Friday moving forward. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time here for us today. Look forward to the end of this documentary and what you have on tap for us next.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.